ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
हरि ओम गुरुजी।
हरि ओम गुरु।
पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ईशावास्यमिदगुं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगद्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथामागृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेदेहकर्माणि जिजीविशेक्षतगुसमाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूर्यानामते लोका अन्धेन तमसा भृताः तादृस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अये जदेकं मनसो जवीयो नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानप्येऽतिष्ठत्तस्मिन् नभो मातरिष्वादधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्दिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानं ततो न विजुगुप्सते।
So in this Ishavasya Upanishad, so far we have done up to verse number 6, mantra number 6. So in mantra number 1, the path of renunciation was emphasized. This is for the students who are highly qualified and they are having quite a bit of vairagya. So they are qualified to gain knowledge. So it was said, this entire universe is provided by that Isha, therefore do not covet another's wealth. And for whose is the wealth? This is nothing but different Nama Rupa. Understanding that all this is nothing but Ishvara, you maintain vairagya, detachment with reference to this world. And maintaining that detachment, meaning becoming mentally free from the preoccupations of the world, you occupy yourself in the pursuit of that pure consciousness. If you can't do that, then in mantra number 2, yes, to attain that level, Vairagya Siddhi, to attain that level, you continue doing karma. Karma here means karma yoga. So in second mantra, he emphasizes karma yoga. By performing karma yoga, you attain Vairagya Siddhi. Develop vairagya over a period of time, then you will be qualified for jnana. Therefore, he says, do activities in this world, but renouncing the fruit. Dedicate the actions for a higher goal, and do not be attached to the result. Thus, when you function with Arpana Buddhi and Prasada Buddhi, what will happen is you will evolve internally and the preoccupations will drop. You will qualify to gain that jnana. Therefore, he said, follow Karma Yoga. If you are not in that level of renunciation, you are not able to see everything as Ishvara. Intellectually, you understand. But when it comes to practical, you see everything as Ishvara. No. So, therefore, you do Karma Yoga. If you are not doing that, so you are neither so high level where you are able to see everything as Ishvara and you are in a state of renunciation, nor are you performing in this world in the spirit of Karma Yoga, then what you are doing? You are running after the material wealth as an end all and be all of life. Your goal is only to acquire an end all. So when you do like that, when you live your life like that, it tantamounts to committing suicide. Because you have already mortgaged your Atma. You mortgaged yourself. Because when you pursue the world, you are only going to be increasing your desires. You know. So, you keep on increasing your desires and moving away from the self. So, what is happening is, there is a desire and your mind runs after that object, towards that object, and you are also dragged away. Which means what? You are not there. It's like, you think what is good for you is to get up early in the morning and study. You think what is good for you is at least half an hour or 1 hour every day, I must do some physical exercise. Whether it is in the form of yoga, pranayama, walking, jogging, whatever it may be. Some kind of stretches I want to do. This is good for me. Similarly, having healthy, nutritious, sattvic food is good for me from the health angle also, from pursuing the higher aspects. Also, the mind cooperates. So, I should keep to that kind of a diet. So, like this, at all levels, you know what is good for you and you want to follow that. But your mind desires junk food. Your mind desires lazing, not being disciplined. So, you're not able to get up in the morning. You're not able to, you know, study. Not able to do exercises. Not able to eat disciplined food, which is conducive for your growth. Then what you have, actually what has happened is, though you are existing, it is as good as you are dead. Isn't it? See, you set the alarm, you wake up, forget 4 o'clock, some 6:30, something like that, you set the alarm. But, you get up around 6 o'clock, switch off the alarm, and then go to sleep again and get up only by 6:30 in the evening maybe. So, who is the guy who set the alarm? Who is the guy who is switching off and sleeping? So there doesn't seem to be one person here. There seems to be a split personality. So he says, you are as good as committing suicide. The suicide and living. So therefore he says, if you are not at the level of renunciation, follow Karma Yoga, then you are living your life. But then you are controlling your mind and directing yourself. Then you are there. If not, your mind is taking you away, which means you are not existing. It's like committing suicide. This is what he said in first, second and third mantra. And then in the fourth mantra to eighth mantra, he talks about the goal of evolution. There he talks about Atma, Iswarupa and the phalam of attaining that Atma. The goal is Atma. Firstly, what is my goal? It should become clear. And the moment I fix the goal itself, many of my things in my life become settled. Painlessly when I travel, what happens? You get up in the morning and say, kya kare yaar? Okay, let me call sadhana. A sadhana is not picking up. Okay, let me try Shweta. And she says, I'm a little busy, I'll call you back. So I'll say, okay, let me try puja. So what I'm doing is, without a goal, painlessly, purposelessly, I'm just meandering, you know, draining all my energies. So I need to have a goal. And a goal which is worthy of having. Compared to not having a goal, some goal you have. But compared to having any goal, have a goal which is worthy of having. And what is that? So in Vedanta, they talk about four goals. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. Understand? So majority doesn't have a goal. Some have the goal of Artha, some have the goal of Kama, some have the goal of Dharma. But above all this, the goal is ultimate Brahman. Only upon reaching that truth, only upon realizing the truth and knowing my real nature, everything becomes settled. Till then, I will be meandering. Therefore, I need to have goal, clarity. So what is that goal? What is that ultimate goal? That he says in 4, he says, that is unmoving. The goal, Atma, is not that which moves. Without moving, it is behind everything which it, without which nothing moves, but by itself it doesn't move. So take the example of electricity. Electricity, what happens? Electricity, without which no gadget functions. But electricity per se is not moving. So it is, it's unmoving, it's all pervading, it doesn't move. And it is faster than the mind. Mind is that which keeps running. And wherever it goes, already Atma is there. So Atma is faster than the mind. And the senses cannot reach it. Senses are gross. Atma is the subtlest. So senses cannot reach it. It is Indriya Agochara. It's beyond the senses. The very senses function because of Atma. And senses cannot reach it. Senses cannot grasp it. It is not an object of comprehension. It is an subjective apprehension. And it runs ahead. It ran ahead of everyone. Meaning, it is the first origin. Then, remaining station, by itself not moving, it outruns all other runners. By itself not running, it's the fastest because it's the subtlest. It is all pervading. Keep being there. Air sustains life. Prana is able to sustain this life because of this supreme prana or that pratama prana which sustains the prana. The pranasya prana, like we studied in Keno Upanishad. So that is the primary prana which gives life to our pranas and that gives life to us. Therefore it is the pranasya prana. And then that moves not. He uses the language of contradiction. That moves not means it seems to be moving in the individual, but actually it doesn't move. So I gave the example of moon and the clouds. The moon is not moving, but the clouds are moving. And it seems as if the moon is moving. Similarly, the Atma within, which is my true nature, is not moving. But the thoughts are running. And the thoughts are running, it brings a delusion as if I am moving. I am doing. I am not doing. In my presence, the mind is running. But when the mind is running, it brings a delusion as if I am doing. So I get the kartrutva. So therefore it is, it doesn't move, but it appears to be moving. It moves not, it moves. That is far, that is near. It is far for the extroverted person. It is near for the introverted person. It's the nearest upa. It is you, you yourself. Yet, today, it is not your, it is not in the purview of your knowledge. You don't know who you are. You know everything else. About yourself, you don't know. But, you know about everything else. So you do not know, it is far for you because your mind is extroverted. But it is near for people whose mind is turned inward. So it is far and near. If you do not know that it is your own subject, out of ignorance, it will be far for you. It will be up above the sky, so high, you say. It will be there, gone. No, the Lord in the heaven, but it is the same Lord in the heaven who is within you also. You don't know that. So therefore you say, far. But once you gain the knowledge, then you know that it is within you, you yourself. So it's far and near. That is inside all this, it is outside of even all this. So it is both immanent and transcendent. It is that which is within, it is that which is without. Within all this, if you go deep inside also, it is there. Go out, zooming out and go, it is there outside also. In other words, the pure consciousness strikes the mind, and as soon as it strikes the mind, the thoughts come, and as soon as the thoughts come, the world comes. So consciousness is what pervades your mind, and it's what pervades your world. In fact, it's the consciousness that has become the mind and the world. Before it is within and without. This is what he said in mantra number 5. Then in mantra number 6 he says, he indeed who perceives all beings in the very self and the self in all beings, he then feels no abhorrence, no vichigupta. No, you know, that feeling. Can't take it. I can't tolerate this guy. Just somehow take this fellow away. Take these things away. I can't handle this. There is no vichigupta. Because everything, whatever is there, good, bad, ugly, everything is nothing but Brahma. So what is there to feel this, hatred or abhorrence? Nothing that you hate. Because everything is nothing but Brahman and Brahman alone. Even that frightening form, thunder, lightning, cyclone, tsunami, earthquake, all these frightening forms are nothing but Brahman only. So where is the problem? There is no problem. Your own child is coming in various forms. Let's say she is competing in fancy dress competition and few different clothes she wears and comes and, you know, performs. You know it's your child. Who has come in different, personalities. You admire that child in all personalities because you see that child. That's what he's saying. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmaneva anupashyati. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmaneva anupashyati. In all the beings, whoever sees that atma alone, anupashyati. Anupashyati because pashyati means seeing. When you open, just opening your eyes and seeing, you will only see what? You will only see sadhana, seta, puja, soba, etc. But anupashyati, meaning with the purified mind and intellect. Purified by what? By karma yoga, bhakti yoga and the shastric knowledge, jnana yoga, through reflection and purification. Now when you see, what will you see? Oh, what I was seeing as sadhana, puja, sweta, soba, actually is nothing but atma. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani eva anupashyati. So that person who sees atman alone, how is that person is seeing atma where we are seeing all different gross bodies and gross things? Because of the internal change. If that internal change is not happening from you, within you, you will see only the gross things. So, what should happen is we should change ourselves. See, I've said this story many, many times. From Ram Sita gives this. It's a fascinating story. In a particular kingdom, there were two great painters. And the king wanted to decide who is the best amongst the two. So he said, he called both of them and said, I'm giving you 1 month's time and I'm giving you one big room in a palace, huge room in a palace, and I'm giving one wall to you, the other opposite wall to the other person. Don't paint. Take 30 days. Whatever you want to paint, you paint. After 1 month, 30 days to bath, we will come and see. then two people will judge as to who is the best amongst them. So, painter number one went there on the first day early in the morning itself with all his, you know, painting brush and all, whatever is needed. He took everything and went there. Started painting. Cleaning the wall and then painting. Second painter, painter number two, did not go on the first day at all. So public thought he will go next day. He didn't go. Third day he didn't go. Fourth day he didn't go. Tenth day also is not gone. Till tenth day is not gone. Till 20th day not gone. Till 29th day he didn't go. 30th day he comes there. Last day he comes. With what? Just a salt paper. What you call as salt paper in India, which is emirishi. He just took that and went there. What did he do? Kept on polishing his side of the wall. His side of the wall, he kept on, you know, smoothening it. And when you keep on smoothening the sand with which the wall is made, it becomes like, it becomes glass, like a mirror with the depth, you know. So, whatever the other painter was painting for 29 days, and the 30th day is giving the finishing touch, this painter, with his smoothening of his side of the wall, made it into a mirror. The painting of the other fellow started reflecting in him with the depth. So next day when everybody came, they saw that with two dimensions, this with three dimensions. They gave the award to this fellow who came on the last day and just did smoothening of the wall. So, what this story is telling us is, you need to purify your inner personality. Problem is here, not there. This is a problem. Isn't it? Problem is here. See, many times when you, in the television channels and all of these debates come, you know, women's liberation and this freedom and all that kind of discussion. Especially the discussion sometimes goes into the clothes the women wear. Oh, what kind of clothes they wear? Because of this, the crimes are happening. It's like that, few people talk. And other people say, what rubbish are you talking? What kind of clothes the small children were wearing or you know, old lady was wearing, normal clothes, still this is happening. It's nothing to do with the clothes, it's to do with the mindset of the men, you know. So, ultimately, it's true, the mindset has to change. Ultimately, these fellows have, the problem is in the mindset of this. You know, you have the problem inside you. So, we need to understand that. The problem is within. You have an exaggerated value for it. Because you haven't done proper reflection. You look at it like that. Therefore, it's the problem in you. That you need to realize. Therefore, he says, when you start seeing the self as a result of your transformation from the self, then what happens? Then there is no hatred. There is no abhorrence. There is nothing thereafter to say, I can't stand this. I hate it. I just can't stand it. Which is kuksha is not. See, for a black woman, black lady, her daughter, her son, who is also black, is beautiful. So the problem is in you who is seeing the color and then coming to the conclusion that it is beautiful or not. Beauty lies in the eye of the beholder. So to even understand this, people find it difficult. A lot of people there, you have in your own head. See, the other day, I read in some of the newspapers I read, there's one actress in Tamil Nadu, just upcoming actress recently. And she's, by the way, she's a qualified doctor. And she's very good in acting and dancing. So she's pursuing this also as a career. And she's quite popular. I believe she was approached by one of these beauty product companies. You know, this Fair and Lovely and all those kind of companies. I don't know which one. They approached her and they apparently said they will, if she signs the contract to, you know, come in their advertisements, she will be given few crores. She said, nothing doing. I am not coming in your advertisements. That's it. But I don't believe in this at all. I'm not coming. So this is, you know, hats off to her to resist such a temptation. It's not easy. So people have their beliefs that you are beautiful only if this is there. Otherwise, you are not beautiful. So, but for the mother, the child is beautiful. So there is no abhorrence because you are dropping the ego and see. But when you don't drop the ego and see, then it's a problem. So if you see the diagram in the book, Swamiji has given there, the world is there, individual is there, in between there's a thick wall of ignorance. And then as the knowledge goes in, the thick wall of ignorance goes on reducing. So then, slowly, you come to universal love. Individual, you know, starts attaining universal love. Then he sees divinity everywhere. And when he sees divinity everywhere, how can he hate any being? That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, Atvesha sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Atvesha sarva bhutanam. When you see the same self, it is everywhere. In fact, you are only seeing the self. You are seeing the self. How can you have any different kind of a negative feeling towards anybody else? So, advesha sarva bhutas. No hatred towards anything. Maitra, be friendly towards everything. And then you will have compassion, karuna. These are the qualities of a bhakta. Therefore, he says, through this knowledge, what happens is, you rise above these feelings of all negativity, you know, hatred, jealousy and all that. You rise above abhorrence. So you don't have any ill feeling towards anybody. You don't have that. Anybody meaning they are not different from you. When you know that they are not different from you, then what is the difference due to? The difference is due to their guna. So Jesus says, hate the sin, not the sinner. Hate the sin in the sense, understand that these different gunas are there and each one has different gunas. Therefore, they are functioning like. You know, when the Swami was sitting and meditating and there was a small wound, on his thighs and worms were coming and eating those wounds. And he was looking at it, and as they were eating the wound, they slipped and fell down. He took them and put it back there. That's what those kind of stories are. He took the worms and put it back. There are other stories like a scorpion was stinging a Swami, and he kept on, you know, putting it back. He said, it is the swabhava of the scorpion to sting. It is my swabhava to be compassionate. So the moment I see the self in all beings and all beings in the self, then there won't be any hatred from within me. And when I have no hatred from within me, there is no resistance. Because when I have hatred, I will be receiving hatred. The world is a mirror. Please understand. What goes around comes around. What you are carrying is what is coming back. Because you have that such a big ego, world is giving you the fear. It's a reflection of your own mind. We don't understand this. So when there is no hatred from inside, you are only giving love. What you receive is also love. If you give hatred, you will receive hatred. If you give love, what you will receive is love. But you are not giving because you are thinking that I want to receive love, therefore I am giving. Then it's a problem. Because then it's a business. So intention is to get back. See, in Tamil Tirukkural, Thiruvalluvar says, a help that you do without any expectation when somebody is in a need is even bigger than the help the ocean is doing to us. Because what is the ocean doing? The ocean is giving water. It gives rain, the water evaporates. Then what is happening is, it is receiving all the water back. It is giving the water and it is receiving it back to the ocean. Therefore he says, this help that you do without expectation is even bigger than the ocean. So, no hatred. So when you have no hatred, you have only love. Means you will only receive love. So you, all the time people say, I am studying, I'm changing. But these people say, one by three, one. What you are doing is, you stopped probably verbalizing your hatred. But inside the vengeance, the hatred is still there. You haven't let it go. You can't let it go. Letting go is not forget, is not to forget. No. You can still remember. But you understand, yeah, they did it because they were children. And they're still like that. They're still children. Therefore they're functioning. They're behaving like this. Isn't it? See, true evolution. What is true evolution? What is the mark of a man? What is the mark of a grown-up man? The mark of a grown-up man is humility. Non-violence. Compassion. Universal love. You know, forgiveness. These are the mark of an evolved person. So, when you are like that, then you will be only receiving love. Mostly. And why I say mostly? Because for every rule there is a small exception. And that exception also very interesting. Why? Because those people who are trying to harm you, they are perceiving as if you are bad for them. That's the problem. See, what kind of examples can I give? See, for example, somebody is, even yesterday it happened, I received a message, WhatsApp message, long message actually, I received. And it was a forward. So, the forward said, there is somebody in Bengaluru who has dedicated all his life for this Vedic teaching. You know, like we are into Vedanta. He's into Vedic teaching, apparently. And he does it absolutely selfless, not for money. Absolutely selfless, I believe. Unfortunately, his entire family is suffering from corona. And they are all hospitalized. So, the long and short of it, the forward said, they are expecting that the bill can come anywhere around 10 lakhs. And that 10 lakhs means plus or minus, we don't know. Maybe more. God knows what it is. And obviously that person cannot afford. So they were seeking help. You know, whoever can give, please do this and these are the contacts and this link to it. Some forward I received. My instinct was immediately, I said, nothing doing, we have to help the person. You know, because somebody who is dedicating his life for the Vedic heritage, he has studied in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi Kalyanakrit Kaschit Durgatim Tasagat. Somebody who is doing the Kalyanakrit, good work, can never suffer, you know. So I said, we need to definitely help this person who has been doing selfless service. So let's find out whether it's genuine first of all. So I told 2-3 people to find out. And last night, I got the message that it's a very genuine case. And then, you know, this person's contact was also given. If you want, you can talk and all that. So what I'm saying is, we need to put in that kind of effort to find out and then do the help. I'm supposing, in this case, it turned out to be somebody who is genuine and he needs help. But there are many fake cases. Again, yesterday somebody was telling me, because when I was sharing this to somebody and said, please find out if it's true, you know. Then they said, in US or somewhere, a lady faked her cancer. She said she has cancer and she collected something like 40 lakhs. So all these kind of people are there. So when you know that somebody is about to get into some wrong things, that is not good for them. So like Shakespeare says, sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind. Sometimes, mark that word, very important word, sometimes you have to be cruel only to be kind. So, to be kind, you are being cruel. In the sense you are saying, no, thank you. Sorry, I can't help you. Now, that person thinks you are a bad person for him. That's the problem. And why that person is behaving that way? Because that person is suffering from insecurity. It is that person's nature. A snake is insecure, therefore the snake is wanting to bite you. Why the scorpion is biting you? Because the scorpion is insecure. It doesn't have the higher brain. The problem is scorpion doesn't have the higher brain. The issue is we have the higher brain, but we don't develop it or use it. That is the problem. So, in that small percentage of exception case also, what is happening is, their nature is such and they are misunderstanding. You are misbehaving. But you are still giving them only love. That is the real strength. To not to think negative of anybody. Not to think of anybody negatively is something unbelievable quality. It's not that they are, what is the word, naive or they are useless. No. They can be easily taken for a ride. No, they cannot be taken for a ride. But they refuse to think negative of anybody. Oh, he spoke so ill of you, supposing must have been drunk, yeah. That day must have been drunk. Or must have had a hard day, tough day. You know, must have had a tough day, maybe agitated. You say, you will not believe me or what? You want me to record next time when he talks ill about you and you? Even if you give the recording. Telling you no, must have had a bad day. Or maybe some mood to a karapta. Something. He always thinks positive. That's the, I mean, a guy who's so evolved, will be like. So, therefore, such a person who's seeing the self everywhere, he has no hatred. Therefore, he only receives love. Even in certain areas where he receives certain negative things, even that also he takes it positive. No problem. In fact, yesterday, you know, every Wednesday I have a class in the evening where I teach Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday after the class, somebody asked this question. In spite of you being good to you, if somebody is doing so much of negative things to you, and if you keep on forgiving them, will they not take you for granted and use you as a doormat? You know, all these are coming from the undeveloped intellect, these questions. But if you pause and think, what you understand is, it's not that you are naive and you can be taken for a ride or anything like that. No. You understand, but from within, you only send out positive thoughts. So, you don't from your angle, you don't have hatred. Even if they're doing harm to you. That's culture. I don't know if I told that story of Mahatma Gandhiji. Apparently, it actually happened. Mahatma Gandhiji was imprisoned many times during freedom struggle, as you know, by Britishers. And once he was imprisoned for almost 6 months in a particular jail. There, the jail in charge was a Britisher, and he was very rude to Mahatma Gandhi and insulted him many times, and he was even physically hurting him. Sometimes he used to hit him with his shoes, you know, with his booted legs. So, the Mahatma Gandhiji, when he was getting released from the jail, he presented a chappal to that person. He said, this is what I made the 6 months when I was here for you. So immediately went and saw, it fitted him perfectly. He said, how is this that you stitched the chappal exactly to my size? To my feet size, how is it that you did this? He immediately said, you remember you used to hit me with your shoes. So those marks were there. I took that measurement from there and I stitched it. The man apparently said to him, I will certainly keep this chappal, but not in the shoe stand, but in my puja room. So, that's why we call him Mahatma, not an ordinary Atma. So, to be a Mahatma, this is what he's talking about. Mahatma is, ordinary Atma is what appears. Mahatma sees what is. What seems to us, we take it. The Mahatma doesn't go by what it seems, what it is, really. What it is really. We'll question that and then go. So therefore, such a person has no abhorrence. This is mantra number 6. Now let's see mantra number 7.
यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मैवाभूद्विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कः शोक एकत्वमनुपश्यतः
यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मैवा Atma eva. Atma eva means Atma eva. Abhuta janata. To the realized one, all beings have become the very self. The moment you see the self, become all beings have become the self means it's not that they were before something else. That's like, see, in other words, what he's saying is, you are seeing all other beings as individual, separate beings because you are seeing yourself as this gross body. The moment you remove that misconception that you are this gross body, you remove this misconception here, once this misconception is removed, you see there also, nobody thereafter will be just Mamsa Pinda. They won't just be mortal flesh. No, thereafter. So, he says, it's like, you know, you go to watch a movie and in the, when you are watching the movie on the screen, there's a small black patch. So, you took a cloth and tried to wipe it, it's not going. Whatever you do, it's not going. So, then somebody says, yeah, the patch is not on the screen. The patch is there as a small covering of dust on the projector lens. So take the cloth and bite the projector lens. When he goes and bites the projector lens, then that dot which was there on the projector is gone, which is what was projecting as a big black spot on the screen. That black spot is gone. This is what he's saying. To the realized one. To the realized one means what? The one who is realized that he is not the body, he is not the mind, he is not the intellect. He is the Atma. మనోభూద్యహంకార చిత్తాని నాహం నచ శ్రోత్రజిహ్వే నచ ప్రాణనేత్రే నచ వ్యోమ భూమిర్ న తేజో న వాయు చిదానంద రూపః శివోహం శివోహం చిదానంద రూపః శివోహం శివోహం మనోబుద్ధ్యహంకార చిత్తాహినాహం means what? I am not the mind. I am not the intellect. I am not the ego. I am not the memory or conditioned consciousness. I am the pure consciousness. Chidananda rupaha shivoham shivoham. Chidananda rupaha shivoham shivoham. First and last thing that one needs to do is this. प्रॉब्लम मेरा अंदर है बाहर नहीं है इज द प्रॉब्लम इन माई हेड दैट्स व्हाई आई गिव द एग्जांपल ऑफ व्हाट काइंड ऑफ क्लोथ्स दे आर वेयरिंग व्हाट काइंड ऑफ देयर आई एम नॉट सजेस्टिंग दैट यू वेयर एनी काइंड ऑफ क्लोथ्स बट द प्रॉब्लम इज इन योर हेड सो we need to understand. Once I understand that, thereafter my life becomes perfectly fine. I am now today thinking of changing the world. As long as I am trying to change the world, how much ever I change, I will still continue to be agitated. But it satisfies my ego to blame the outside person. To blame my parents, my spouse, my children, my siblings, my neighbors, my, the rulers, the politicians, the business people, the administrators, what not. Something or the other to blame suits my ego. But the real truth is, problem mera andar hai. How am I seeing? Change that perception. That's what he thinks. He's a realized one. All beings have become the very self. Tatra kaha mohaha kaha shokaha. There, when a person has reached the state, kaha mohaha, there's no moha. Moha delusion means what? See, whenever I talk about delusion, I am reminded of Kalidasa. Before he actually became Kalidasa, he was dumb. So apparently, he was sitting on a branch of a tree and cutting the very same branch at the place where it shoots. Starting. Now, that is called delusion. No, you are hurting yourself. How? By thinking that you are this body. That is delusion. Not seeing the correct picture. That is foolish. Not seeing actually what is. But seeing what it seems or appearing. So, where is the delusion? Tatra kaha moha. No moha. There is no ignorance thereafter. Ignorance of the self is what causes the delusion. And then, once you are deluded, what the other thing that happens? Because of this avarna, ignorance, vikshepa, agitation, grief, shoka comes. No shoka, nothing. No fear, no shoka, nothing. Abhayam. Bhaya is gone. Abhayam. Why no bhaya? When a child is wearing that face of a lion and coming and saying, ha, like that to you are laughing. Why? Because you know the real person behind this face of the lion is my own daughter. So if at all you pretend, that's all, as if you're scared. But actually inside you don't have fire. So grief is not there. See, this grief itself is a madness that I have put on myself due to my imagination. Because I identify with this personality, I am saying I am suffering. Where am I suffering, Baba? You identify with the personality in the dream and then you are saying you are suffering. The delusion that it is mine. Therefore, as long as there is me and mine, there will be grief. As long as the me is different from everybody else, then there will be me and mine. And when there is me and mine, there will be grief. Why? Because whatever I have, there's a possibility that somebody else may take it away. And they actually take it away also. Either they take it away or for some reason I need to lose it. So, grief and potential grief. Therefore, he says, once that moha is gone, tatra kaha moha, kaha shoka, ekatvam anupashyata. For a perceiver of oneness, ekatvam, who sees only one pure consciousness which is pervading this entire universe. For him, where is shoka? So shoka is an outcome of our mind. Because it's the mind that makes us to see the variety where there is only one. Where there is only one, it's the mind. What is there is only the gold. In a jewelry shop. When a thief goes, he goes like that. Say, yeah, kapkuch dalo under. He doesn't say, oh, bangle dalo. Play dalo, what a sara kuch under dalo. Why? Because everything is gold. But when you go inside the jewelry shop, seeing the nice bangle, nice necklace. They're all different. Why? It's according to your mind. And your imagining. If I wear it, how will it be? And you've been watching all these advertisements for quite some time where they show that this person who is wearing it is looking even more beautiful. You know. And then you think without it I'm incomplete. So now you have to go somehow buy it. And you save for it to buy, but then the inflation has made it more expensive. You can't afford grief. Or you bought it. You came home and on the way you ask your friend to come to the coffee shop and you both had coffee. They are showing your necklace outside to the friend without telling her the new necklace and she's not noticed it. Let's say you go back with grief. You spent a few lakhs and no appreciation from your friend because she was preoccupied with something. She didn't see it and that's it. Grief gone. With 1 lakh, 2 lakhs, 5 lakhs that you spent, you thought you'll get happiness. Now you come back with more sorrow. So nobody seems to be noticing. Maybe I purchased a necklace which is not looking good. Agitation. Or when you come home and keep it, there is fear that somebody can take it away. So grief. When the delusion is there, then the grief is there. When the no delusion is there. So when there is no avarna, there is no vikshepa. When there is no ignorance, there is no agitation. What delusion, what grief can be there for the perceiver of oneness? This is how the Gita starts, if you remember. 11th verse of chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, what is Shri Krishna saying? Asochyan anvashochatvam prajnyavadamsya vasase gatasun agatasun na anusochanti panditaha. Wise people do not grieve for those who are gone and those who have come. And yet, you have been grieving for those who do not deserve to be grieved for Arjuna. This is the verse. Why people do not grieve? Why they don't grieve? Because they know everything is nothing but a consciousness. Why are you grieving? Because you don't know that. Therefore what? You imagine an individuality. What is that individuality? Something which had a birth. And something which had a birth means what? It can have disease, decay and death. Grief is that. Disease, decay, death. Maya, grief automatically comes. But when the delusion goes, then no grief. Then what? When there is a loss, you laugh. When there is victory, you laugh. I think I gave a story, you know, last week. I'm not sure whether this class or some other class. Young married couple, not at all, you know, fighting and no, abusive language, nothing of the sort. Only laughter was coming out from their house. Why? Not because they were not fighting. He said, when I get angry, I throw something at her and if it hits her, I laugh. If it misses, she laughs. And she does the same thing to me when she is angry. If it misses me, she laughs. Sorry, I laugh. If it hits me, she laughs. So, there is only laughter. The loss, pain, both are no reasons for you to lose your laughter. For us, when there is gain, we laugh. When there is loss, we get agitated. Bhaktiji says, there is one of his devotees, okay, in some part of India, a little elderly gentleman, and he is the one who hosts Swamiji's lectures. Now, very different places we have, somebody or the other, hosting either fully or partly. So, this gentleman used to host his lectures and Swamiji was staying in his house whenever he goes for lectures. And a nice family, they had a beautiful daughter, very nice girl, educated and cultured girl. And she was like, you know, Swamiji had been seeing her from her teenage or something. Now she is 25, 26, not married. And in India, somehow this is a, I don't know, this is something in our head. Not married, not married, not married, and people go through hell. Say, yeah, they are not married, what is the problem? Are you happy after marrying? No, then at least leave them alone, no? No, no. Not married. Not married. You know, so you go through this agitation. So, this fellow was also agitated. So he told Swamiji, she's not married. We need your blessings. And Swamiji said, yeah, I don't believe in all these blessings and all that. Let's be practical. No, no, Swamiji. You don't know the power of your blessing. You bless. Yeah. What blessings are you talking about? Let me also find out if there is some suitable boy for us. Yeah. You also do whatever is necessary to find a boy. He said, no, you bless. He said, okay, my blessings are there. Give it. The fellow will not understand how much ever I say. So he left. After the lectures are over, 2 days ke baad ki banda. Then after a few days, I believe this man called Swamiji. Swamiji, your blessings came through. What? We found a very nice boy. Gem of a boy, Swamiji. Gem of a boy. Highly educated. He's educated in India, educated abroad. But pure gold son, in spite of all his high qualifications, down to earth, simple. And very happy, very happy, very happy. Allah was grieving before. Now he's very happy, very happy. Why? After saying all this, but Swamiji, between you and me, he is 5 times richer than me. This fellow himself is like billionaire. He thinks that fellow is 5 times more money. Actually, that is why he is more happy. More than all education. So, he has fixed his marriage on this day. Swamiji, you should come. Swami said, yaar, I can't come because I have my other commitments. I'm going to some other country for lectures. So when I come for my lectures next time to your city, I will meet her. She can visit, you know, either their house or she can come and meet me. Okay. But my wishes are there. So next time when Swamiji went to the city for lectures, the girl is in their house. He thought she just come for a day. He said, what happened? She said, come for the day. No, Swamiji. She's come for good. What? Come for good? Within few months? What is happening? He said, Swamiji, I don't know. I'm not happy. What happened? You said that boy is such a good boy, highly educated, down to earth, humility, everything you said. Abhi kya ho gaya? No, Swamiji, boy is a gem of a boy, Swamiji. Gem of a boy. Absolutely gem. There is no doubt about it. Then, what's the problem? Mother-in-law, that's the problem. What? Yeah, because wherever she sits, she'll say, this is not your sofa that you brought from your house. This is not the fridge from your house, this thing, that is not the thing. She goes on, talks to her like this, Swamiji. So, Swami said, yes, let us see, you know, even that family I know, so let's talk to them. No, Swamiji, she will insult you. That lady is a deadly lady. If you talk, she will insult you, and I can't take the, as it is, she's been rude to my daughter. If she insults you, that is too much, then I will finish her. So, no way you can talk to her. No. It's okay if they insult me, for me, it doesn't matter. She's like our daughter, I'll talk for her. No problem. No, nothing to it. You will not talk. Then, what should we do? Simply one blessing is enough, Swamiji. If you bless her, she'll be fine. Be practical. How many times to tell you blessing? Let us be practical. Kya blessing hota hai? Let's be practical. Blessing, forget it. Let's talk. Let's see. Start the channel of communication. No. They will insult you. Only one blessing is enough. So, what do you mean by blessing? Swamiji, you don't know the power of your blessing. I know. Just bless her. How the blessing will help? Swamiji, that lady is already having high blood pressure, high blood sugar. So one blessing of yours is enough. He said, listen, I don't believe in blessing, and definitely these kind of blessings I don't do. So he forcefully took Swamiji's hand and put on the girl's head and said, Swamiji, bless you, go. You know. So this kind of thing happened, I believe, and Swamiji came back to Mumbai. And after a few months, he called and he was very happy, it seems. He called and said, Swamiji, your blessing came. I didn't do any blessing of anything of the sort. So the thing is, people are grieving because of their madness. But they won't understand it. Satra kaha moha kaha shoka. There is the shoka when the delusion is gone. As long as the delusion is there, shoka will be there. What you are doing? Shoka is there. So what we do? Wrongly we analyze. And then say, because of this person, I'm going through shoka. So what do you do? Either I go away from that person or transfer to that person. Okay. The situation. This is the problem. So what do I do? From here, go somewhere else. Where will you go? Wherever you go. Now, for example, Corona. Where will you go? Wherever you go, Corona is there. It seems to be next to Brahman, all pervading. Isn't it? So, wherever you go, the challenges will be there in some form or the other. So, the solution is not in changing the world. Solution is you got to change yourself. This is the delusion that we are all in. What is the delusion? That I am all right, world needs correction. Once I make the world perfect, I'll be fine. My life will become fantastic the moment I change the world. This is the delusion. But what's the right thinking? World doesn't require any correction. I need correction. When I change, everything changes. The way I look at it, it's incredible. It's incredible. You must read the stories of all these great people, personalities, like even Nelson Mandela. The way he looked there, it makes the other person look so small. You don't have to insult them. See what happens when you have this anger, that jealousy and all this, you want to name and shame the other and insult and then feel good about it. No. The other is, you don't insult them, you don't do anything. You do good to them. Like that episode I was talking about in Mahatma Gandhi's life. The other person instantly in that, it's like, you know, when the light is switched on, it becomes clear what's the problem. So in the presence of such a personality, you see the stupidity of the way we behave. The moment we get that awareness, instantly our life will change. So that's what he's saying. Tatra kaha moha kaha shoka. Ignorance is gone, shoka is gone. Because of the ignorance, the attachment. Because of the ignorance, attachment. Once the ignorance is gone, attachment is gone. Once the attachment is gone, grief is gone. Because grief comes from attachment. My body, my this thing, my that thing. That's how the grief, that's how the whole thing starts. You get attached. So you are in grief. So nobody understands it. Because of my attachment, I am in grief. We still think it is that person, this person. So beautiful, beautiful verses they are. This is the transformation. This is the transformation happens to you when you have become a butterfly from being a caterpillar. Once you have come to that level, outside world is still the same. But what has happened? You have changed the inside. So in the very same world, you are peaceful. You are calm. You are composed, serene. And the fact that you changed yourself, now you are also able to change the others. Not that you wanted to change the others, but they change in your face. So the change can happen only when you change. If you want to be a leader, you bring about that change in you. Then see. Then you see how the whole thing changes. Perception. So therefore, this yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut. So, the moment you see every being as the self, all beings as the self, then all grief, everything ends. Permanently ends. Because grief is your imagination. Now, when I say grief is your imagination, don't go out and say, even when you are suffering, to say it's imagination and it will go away. No, it won't go. You will understand and see it, that you brought it upon yourself when the awareness comes. Only then it comes. So that's why from whatever you are detached, from all that you will become free. Yadanin, Ningya Nodal Adanin Adanin Ilar. From whatever you have dropped your attachments, from that and that you don't have any shoka. Beautiful Tirukural in Tamil. So why I have moha, because I've constantly kept on talking about it, thinking about it. Now I developed moha. That's why. He studied Bhajagovindam. Bhajagovindam is called Moha Mudgara. Bhajagovindam is one name. The other name is Moha Mudgara. Dispeller of Moha. Uplifter of Moha. The Moha is removed. How? By making you see the right thing. So he gives the examples. No, we studied. I'm just making you remember that. What is that? He says, நாரீஸ்தனபர நாதி தேகம் துஷ்வா மாகா மோகா வேஷம் ஏத்தன் மாம்சவி சாதி விசாரம் மனசிவி சிந்தைய வாரம் வாரம். பியூட்டிஃபுல் வெர்சஸ். யூ சீ தி பியூட்டிஃபுல் கான்டர்ஸ் ஆஃப் அ உமன் அண்ட் யூ டோன்ட் ஹேட் பட் வாட் ஆர் தே? தே ஆர் ஆல்சோ மாடிபிகேஷன் ஆஃப் ஃபிளஷ் அண்ட் போன்ஸ். ஏதன் மாம்சவி சாதி விகாரம் மனசிவி சிந்தைய வாரம் வாரம். ஆன் அ டெய்லி பேசிஸ் இஃப் யூ ரிஃப்ளெக்ட் வாட் looking at it from a totally different angle, pratipaksha bhavana. They are all assemblage of flesh. See, supposing you say, the flowing hair of that lady is beautiful. That is what is attracting me. And supposing she removes that and keeps it on the table. Supposing it is something that is attached. You know, nowadays they have all these kind of attachments. You won't even know that it is attachment. So she is wearing the attachment. Supposing she removes and keeps it and she is bald-headed, you will immediately run away from her. And supposing she, you say her, the line of teeth and the white teeth is what is attracting. She removes that and keeps it on the table, you will run away. So, what is it? It's not just that beautiful teeth, it's not just that flowing hair, all of them coming together and consciousness reflecting to the mind and making it a alive being. This is what is attracting. So what is actually attracting? A dead body will not attract you. An alive person is attracting. So what is actually attracting? It's the consciousness that is attracting. So the consciousness is what actually was attracting you. But you thought that body was attracting. That delusion is what causing you grief. Why? Because when you understand that non-truth as truth, and the non-truth is something that constantly changes, so the body will constantly change. And when the body constantly changes, what happens? Slowly the tight skin will start becoming loose, hair will become grey, all will start happening and grief will come. I want to understand that truth as truth, untruth as untruth, changes happen in untruth. I accept that, I understand that, and move on, no grief whatsoever. Therefore he says, tatra kaha moha kaha shoka. There can be no grief because there is no delusion for the perceiver of oneness. Ekatvam anupashyate. Anupashyata. But see that ekatvam. Anupashyate. That anu again is anupashyate means, you know, opening your eyes nicely and seeing, not going by what it appears. Let's conclude. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om சகலம் பரஸ்மை நாராயணாயேதி சமர்ப்பயாமி. ஹரி ஓம்.